All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Paul's been declaring to the church at Galatia that in Christ Jesus we have been given life. We've been given liberty. We've been given everything necessary by God in his Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. And he's given us liberty and hope and righteousness all in Christ, and through Christ sets us free from the bondage that we're in this flesh by nature. God's provided everything in his Son. And yet, these brethren here in Galatia, they were desiring to go back into bondage. They were desiring things which cannot save and are not the things of liberty. They didn't recognize it as such. They thought they were doing what was right, and they thought they were honoring God. And the reality is, Paul says, you're going into bondage. You want to go into bondage. This is what you're asking for. You're asking to go into bondage. And look at verses 9 and 10. He said, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, right? We love him because he first loved us, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You desire to be in bondage. What does that look like, Paul? He says, well, you observe days and months and times and years. I can smell that you guys are going to Judaism. You're going under the law. This is what you're doing, and that's bondage. That's bondage. You're not to be going back under the law. And Paul was concerned for them because when a professing believer ceases to be satisfied with Christ, that's a thing of concern. When a believer is no longer satisfied with the simplicity that is in Christ, and they begin to search out other things and to try other things, that's a concern, because our God has given us everything necessary in his Son. And he teaches us all these things, everything necessary in Christ. And it's a walk of faith revealed in us by his Spirit. And so what they're doing is, it seems like they're doing what's right. They're going on to what they think is more mature things, and that they're being faithful to God and going on to these things. In reality, it's bondage. It's bondage. They're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone. They're having to turn to the flesh and to bear works of the flesh, to yield the fruit of the flesh in doing it. And Paul says, this isn't right. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. You think you're doing what's right, and it's not right at all. And so it's cause for great concern. And Paul said in verse 11, he said, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain, lest your faith is in vain. And then look down at verse 20. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. You're showing me that you aren't satisfied with Christ. You're not hearing the promises of God made to you in Christ. And Paul speaks about these promises, and he says that we wait for the Lord to fulfill his righteousness in us, to teach us, to we wait upon him to keep and preserve us. He says, let me see if I can find it there. I'm looking in Romans 8, where he speaks of groaning and waiting. Oh, okay, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen, or hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. God has given us great and exceeding great and wonderful promises in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we wait for it in patience. We trust God to fulfill his word to us. So if we have to turn to the flesh, that's turning away from Christ. If you've got to affect it by your works, and these are fruits of the spirit, of the flesh, which is malice and backbiting and tearing one another apart. If you've got to do these things and turn to works of the flesh, how is that walking in the Spirit? How is that of God and of the Lord? If you've got to now do things of hate and malice, of envy and deceitful things to one another, that's not of the Spirit. And so Paul is writing a very personal letter to the Galatians, and he's speaking to them about very specific things relevant to themselves, and he's telling them the truth. And because he warned them and said, brethren, you take heed to what you're doing. You take heed to what you're doing. Be very careful what you're doing. And because he told them that, they despised him as an enemy because he told them the truth. They treated him as an enemy and turned away from him. They didn't want to do with him. At least some did. And they saw him as an enemy rather than this man's a faithful minister sent of God who promises to feed his sheep, who promises that he'll preach the gospel to his people and tell them the truth and feed them in Christ. But they turned away from him as an enemy. And so in these verses here, we see this personal speech that Paul has with the Galatians, and he's putting them in memory of the liberty, of the blessings, of all that God has richly given to them in Christ, and he's steering them back to him whom they've turned from. But while these things are very targeted to the Galatians, there's things that we can learn. There's things that we can hear today as we read these words. They're a good reminder to us of just how easy it is for us to be offended in the flesh. It's easy. This flesh does not hear. This flesh fights against the true and living God. It resists the Holy Spirit. The Israelites are described as having a stiff neck, and it means that they have an iron sinews in their neck, and that's us by nature. We have an iron sinews in our neck. We will not be turned. We will not hear the Lord. We see him as our enemy, and we fight against him. And if it's not for the grace of God, we'll never believe. We'll never believe. We'll never turn. We'll never hear our Lord. But it's a good reminder to see how easily we can be offended when the stakes are high and we passionately care about something. And we'll be fooled if left to ourselves. And so we need to look to Christ. We need to put him first in all things, and that's easier said than done, because pride is a very wicked sin. It's very wicked, and it's in this flesh. And that's why oftentimes Paul says, if any man think he knoweth something, let him think again. If you think that you've arrived, and you know the truth, and you know what to do, be very careful. It was James who said, brethren, be slow to speak and be quick to hear. Listen, because this is what we are by flesh, by nature, in the flesh, and we will bring ourselves right into bondage, desiring it even, thinking that we're doing good and right in it. And so I've titled this message, An Enemy for Telling the Truth. So Paul makes an appeal to his Galatian brethren, and he says in 4 verse 12, this is the beginning of our text here, verse 12, brethren, so he is being gracious to them. He's hoping that they are brethren. He says, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. And you've not injured me at all. You've not offended me. Your issue isn't with me. Your issue is with the Lord. Your issue is you're rebelling against the Lord. And turning from me, it's not me that you're offending. You're offending the Lord. And so he says, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. And what's Paul mean there? Well, Paul was a Jew, and he was serving God, worshiping God under the law. He was in bondage to the law himself. But in Christ, he's been delivered from that bondage. He's been taken out of that bondage. Whereas the Galatians, they were Gentiles. And the Gentiles never served God. They never worshipped God under the law of Moses. But now they were being charmed by these legalists, these of the concision, these lawmongers who had come out of Jerusalem and were now going to the various churches and places that Paul and Barnabas had been to preaching the gospel. And they were saying, brethren, you need to move on to more strong things. You need to be doing this. And what you're hearing from Paul, that's not the truth. That's not enough. That's not sufficient to save you. You need to go on to greater, more needful things. And for them, it was the law. It was legal bondage. And it can be a lot of different things, but for these Galatians, it was legal bondage. They were going to the law. And turn over to Philippians 3. Paul tells the church, he tells the Philippians what he thinks of the law. And we see that Paul wanted nothing to do with the law for righteousness. Everything had become new for Paul in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true of every single child of God. All things are become new. We don't now seek and go back to religion, dead letter law religion. That's not our salvation. That's not growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's growing in the flesh. That's turning to the flesh to work a righteousness. And Christ said to those people who said, Lord, didn't we do all these things for you and in your name do many wonderful works and cast out devils? Didn't we do those things? And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. So that by their law keeping and their doing, they were actually committing sin and iniquity and trespassing against the true and living God. And it's contrary to how we think in the flesh. It's contrary to it. But Paul says in Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I was rebellious. When Christ came, I continued in the law, and it became apparent very quickly that I was in bondage. In bondage. He said, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. According to the interpretation, understanding, and teachings of the Pharisees, I was perfect in my law keeping, he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When Christ came, all his religion, all his doings, all his perfection under the law was vile. It became filthy to him. It became something to be rejected and cast off. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And so Christ became Lord to Paul. He was Lord, but Paul now understood, this is my Lord and Savior, I follow him. Follow him, and I trust him, and he makes promises to me that I believe, and I stand in those promises by faith, trusting my Lord. And so, because of his faith in Christ, all the old things passed away, and in Christ, all things were new, and he worshiped God in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And so, Paul is saying there, I'm not clinging to the law at all for any righteousness. I'm not looking to the law for sanctification. I'm made perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm accepted of my God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand before God, trusting his word of promise to me in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Paul is living like a Gentile now. Paul is a Gentile as far as he's concerned. He's not under the law. And that's why he says to the Galatians, be as I am, for I am as ye are. I'm what you guys are. You guys are Gentiles. You were never under the law. That's how I live. I don't live by the law. That's not my righteousness. That's not my sanctification. That doesn't bring me nearer to my God. Christ, and Christ alone, is my all. All my acceptance, all my righteousness, all my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for example, he said of Peter in Galatians 2:14, look at that verse with me. Galatians 2, verse 14. He said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. He's talking about Peter and Barnabas, leaders in the church there. People who had influence over the other brethren that were there. He says, I saw that they didn't walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and do not as the Jews and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter, if you and me, if we're living like Gentiles, not with the law, we're not looking to the law, we're not reading the law for our righteousness, to study it, to try and figure out how we're supposed to live, we know how to live. We have the Spirit of God in us who teaches us Christ, and he fills my heart with love and care and kindness and gentleness for my brethren and for others. I speak to them and deal with them according to the grace of God for me in his Son. That's how we're to live toward one another. Is God gracious to you? Be gracious to your brethren. Has God forgiven you for Christ's sake? You forgive your brethren for Christ's sake. Does God love you in Christ? You love your brethren in Christ. Does Christ love you and lay down his life for you? You love your brethren and lay down your life for them. You do what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul isn't out there sleeping with the Galatians' wives, their wives, and coveting their things and stealing from them. He doesn't go into the houses of the Gentiles and skim a little bit of money off for himself from them. He doesn't lie to them or cheat them in any way. He's faithful to preach the gospel and to love them and to treat them kindly, gently, speaking the things of God in Christ, speaking of turning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's not looking to the law, and yet he's walking upright before them in Christ, because Christ teaches us and is all in all to us. So once Christ is come, no man is to be going back to the law to learn how to walk and live and keep themselves unspotted from the world. You look to Christ. You cry out in the Spirit, Lord, keep me, teach me, help me. Bless my brethren. Keep them, Lord. The Spirit teaches us how we are to walk among one another in Christ. As he said before in Galatians 3:24, he said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And you with the King James, you see where the words to bring us are italicized, meaning they're not in the original. The law was the Jews' schoolmaster unto Christ, or until the coming of Christ. And once Christ came, that was it. That was it. We stopped looking to the law for our righteousness, that we might be justified by faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints kept the law which God gave them, looking unto the coming of Christ. And once Christ came, Paul is saying to us, that's it. We don't look in the law now to know how to live. We look to Christ. And when we look in the law, who do we see? But Christ fulfilling all the law, all our righteousness. We see him in all the scriptures. We believe that this is all speaking of him, that Moses wrote of him, the prophets wrote of him, the Psalms wrote of him. It all speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see him clearly. And that's all we see, is Christ, trusting, believing the promises of God made unto us in him. Because when Christ comes, that veil which is over the heart is lifted, and the blindness is removed, the darkness is replaced with the light of Christ, we hear his voice, we come out of the sheep pen of the world, we come out from the midst of the goats, and we're led out by the Lord Jesus Christ and brought into his fold with his sheep, hearing his voice, following him. And so we don't now labor in the law to try and worship God, to try and weave a righteousness for ourselves, to ensure that we're saved, and to sanctify ourselves, to add a few more bricks to the wall of salvation, just in case Christ didn't do enough for us. Let me add my hand to the work. No, we don't do that. If you weave your own righteousness, you're going to weave a spider's web, and you're going to be tangled in that web, and you're going to be bitten with a venomous bite and die in your sins, as Christ said. If you believe not that I am he, that I'm the Christ, that I'm the salvation of God, you will die in your sins. And so we look to Christ and stay right there in him alone. We're robed in his righteousness. We stand confidently before the throne of God in Christ. And if you're looking to the law, there is no confidence. Right, brother? There's no confidence. When you're looking to the law for righteousness, you're terrified because you hear the judgment. You hear the trumpets blaring. You see the lightning. You feel the heat of that fire, the thunderings, the shakings, the earthquakes, because you're not perfect. You're not perfect before the law in your works. You're perfect before the law in Christ. In Christ. Because God promises all who look to him, all who believe him, shall receive the remission of sins. Their sins are put away. Glory to God. We're forgiven. Forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're given his Spirit, whereby we live unto God, calling upon his name, trusting him, believing him, asking him, Lord, help me, keep me. Bless my brethren. Teach me, Lord. The Lord leads us and he keeps us. We're told in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Because he's their sanctification. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, the next three verses should prove a blessed comfort to you who have been delivered from the yoke and bondage of the law. Some of you, I know, have family members. You came from families that looked to the law for righteousness. You went to churches when you were little, churches so-called, where they laid on you the law for righteousness, the law to be your guide and your determining factor of whether or not you were the Lord's people. And so you have family members who trace every affliction that occurs to somebody back to their inability or the fact that they're not keeping the law. Right? Did you hear about your cousin? His car blew up the other day because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Did you hear about your uncle? Yeah, he lost his job because he was working on the Sabbath day. Or he wasn't keeping the law. And they look to little things that happen, afflictions and sorrows and trials that come upon people, and they trace it back to the fact that they aren't doing what they're supposed to do in keeping the law for righteousness. None of us keeps the law for righteousness in this flesh. None of us can look to the law and say that I've been perfect by the things that I've done, unless we're lying to ourselves. But in Christ, we are perfect. In Christ, the law has nothing more to say to us because we have fulfilled the law perfectly in him. We're not looking to what we do or don't do in this flesh. We're looking to what our Savior did and accomplished in his flesh for his people because we were in him. Everything he did was to fulfill all righteousness for us. He fulfilled all righteousness for us. And so when you have family members that tell you, you know why that's happening. You know why someone broke into your house and took some things of yours. It's because you're not keeping the law. When you hear that, just know that the afflictions you have put you in good company. You that trust Christ, you're in good company with the Apostle Paul. Because Paul was living like a Gentile. Paul wasn't keeping the law. And look, he had afflictions. Look here in verse 13 and 14. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel, a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. Your Lord, your God, knows how to give afflictions and sorrows that are good for you and for his people. He knows how to give you sorrows and afflictions. He knows how to bring you into trouble. There are times when we are chastened of the Lord, but it's not because God is punishing us. It's not because he's up there swatting us and smacking our hand and showing us because we're wicked before the law. No, he's teaching us. He's keeping us. And he's giving us things, trials and temptations and sorrows and afflictions, because it's for your good and it's for the good of your brethren. So that Paul, having these trials and temptations, went and preached the gospel faithfully to the Gentile, or to the Galatians there. He said it this way to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:11, "For we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." And so Paul, who lived like a Gentile, it was good the afflictions he had, because it was decreasing and diminishing him. It was putting down his flesh. It was stripping him of his pride and the hope that he had in his own flesh and his works. It's good that the Lord puts the yoke on a man when he's young, not the law, but brings him into trials and afflictions, that he would fall on his face and cry out to God because he sees, "I'm nothing, Lord, and I can't do a thing without you. There's nothing I can do. I can't do a thing for myself. I can't do a thing for my brethren except you do it." He says the watchman, you could set a watchman on the wall of the city, but they watch in vain unless the Lord is keeping that city. Unless the Lord does it. And that's the same thing for us. You could do all you want in the law and in religion, and it does nothing except God give it to you. And he gives it to his people in Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, walking in faith. Walking in faith, not in the flesh, under the law. And so these trials, these temptations proved profitable to God's people, because they bore fruit in bearing and receiving Paul and his infirmity in the flesh. They bore fruit in that because they trusted God. They believed the word of God. They trusted the promises of God. They weren't put off by the infirmities. They believed God was in it and that God had blessed it to their hearts. So then Paul said, "Death worketh in us, but life in you." 2 Corinthians 4:12. Death works in us. We're stripped of our pride, of our arrogance, of our confidence in self, and life is given to God's people in him. They're blessed by it. So having recalled this blessed fruit in their minds, he asks them in verse 15, Galatians 4:15, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? You were full of rejoicing and joy in hearing of Christ. For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." And this is a good lesson for us, because trials and difficulties come. Times of darkness come to the family of God, to his people. There's difficulties and setbacks and trials that come, but remember the blessed fellowship which you enjoyed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is that blessedness ye spake of? If God blessed you, if God fed you together with your brethren, then when difficulties come and your pride is offended and you don't see what you think you should see, why don't you trust the Lord? Why don't you believe the promises of God made to you in his Son? Why would you now turn against your brethren? Why, and they were turning against Paul. Why would you turn against your brethren when trials come? Don't be so quick to write off brethren. Don't be so quick to cast them off and to count them as though they're not brethren, and to be turned away from them, infidels from the faith. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? You've already forgotten the confidence you had in your God, who blessed you, who promised to feed you, and then when a trial comes, you fall away. And like Paul, he's saying, you received me in my weakness and infirmities then. Why don't you receive me now? Why are you turning away from me now? And so Paul was being faithful to the Galatians, and he was speaking the truth to them, but they were offended. He spoke the truth to them, and they were offended and counted him an enemy for telling them the truth, saying to them what they needed to hear, take heed, and they didn't like it. They didn't like it, and they were offended. And so that's what he says in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? If I'm speaking to you as a faithful minister of Christ, does that make me now an enemy of yours? Because I tell you, take heed, brethren, you're going to the law for righteousness. You're being turned from Christ. You're not hearing the promises of God in Christ, and you're taking things into your own flesh to deal with them in a fleshly manner. And it's not faithful. You think you're doing good, and you're really doing evil. You're not doing good. You're not edifying the body. You're not edifying the church. You're tearing it down. You're taking away. Your minds have been corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. And just as Eve was beguiled, the serpent has beguiled you. That's what he's saying to these brethren there. And so they were committed to what they decided to do. Their minds were made up. They weren't going to be turned. They didn't want to hear what Paul said. And so when Paul warned them, you're going into bondage. You're going to make trouble for yourselves. You're standing on dangerous ground where you're going. It's not life, it's death. And you're destroying yourselves and your families. And so they resisted Paul's words, thinking, oh no, we're being faithful. Doesn't it sound good that we're going to the law? Doesn't it sound good that we're going to these things in the flesh? But Paul says, no, trust Christ. Wait for the hope of righteousness. Believe the promises of your God made to you in Christ. Where is the blessedness that you spake of? Why do you doubt God now? Why don't you believe him? Why don't you trust him? He's brought you into the temptation and trial. Why then do you think that turning to the flesh is going to be the thing to resolve it? And so Paul says in verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. In other words, these false teachers, these voices that you're listening to, they're jealous for the people to follow them and not to follow Paul. And it wasn't in a good light, and so they put Paul in a bad light. Those men from Jerusalem, they spoke ill of Paul to make him appear awful to these people. And in doing that, they were putting the souls of the Galatians on very dangerous ground. He said, yea, they would exclude you. In other manuscripts, it says they would include you, and the sense being that they wanted to monopolize your affections and bring you into bondage with them. They wanted to make sure that you wouldn't hear Paul and be swayed by him, and so they monopolized your affections and kept you sealed off, that you would remain with them in bondage, that ye might affect them, that you would be on their side. And so they were very careful in what they did and what they said and the strategies that they used to keep them away from Paul, that they might control them and have the sway over them. And that's a wicked and sinister thing to do and not to be done. And we don't see it when we're doing it. We oftentimes don't realize when we're the ones being a problem in that regard. But here it is right here, and they're not trusting the Lord. All right, verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. Paul said, when I'm with you, you're zealous for me. You're buddy-buddy with me. You're friends with me. You speak well to me. But as soon as I go away, now you side with them, and you talk about me, against me, behind my back. And so he's just saying there, that it is good to be zealous for the right thing, but if you're working in the flesh, it's not good. And so ministers of the gospel, they want to see faithfulness in the Lord's people. We do. We want to see our brethren grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can say, as a pastor now, I see more why Paul said, I have the care of the churches on my mind, weighing heavily on him. Because you see just how proud and arrogant the flesh can be. And we're made to see by the Lord, you think you're low, and the Lord brings you lower in yourself, that he might use you for his good, for his glory, for his purposes. And that doesn't all come at once. That's why Peter wrote to the elders, the under-shepherds, because we need to hear, and we need to be taught and led by the Lord ourselves. And so we grow too, and we're stripped of pride and arrogance. We're stripped and brought low in ourselves, that we would know that without Christ, we can do nothing, and that we desperately need him in all things. And no more is that more apparent than with our brethren, to whom we preach the gospel, and we preach the gospel to ourselves, and we see that we're powerless to effect obedience, to change minds. We have nothing of ourselves to help another to hear it. And so all we can do is pray, cry out to the Lord, trust him, believe his promises to us, not to be turned to the flesh ourselves, but to trust the Lord. And we don't turn the brethren to the law, and we don't try to effect an obedience in them through the preaching of the law, but through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, to declare what he's done for sinners, to declare what he's done for his people, and how that he fulfills all his word to us, to believe him, to trust him, to stay there, because it's Christ's voice that you need to hear. All we can do is lift up the banner and say, look to Christ. Look to the servant of God, the faithful servant of God who fulfilled all righteousness for his people. And we preach him, but we don't turn to the law. And that's what a lot of people do, is they turn from the gospel to the law in order to effect obedience. But that's wickedness. That's doing works of iniquity. And so I'll just close with the last two verses. My little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. We labor until Christ is formed in the hearts of his people, preaching that gospel, preaching Christ, going through trials, going through infirmities, going through sorrows, going through difficulties, to die to self, that we might find our all and all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a blessed thing. And that's where the Lord blesses you, his people. And so when we go through these difficulties and trials, we're in good company. We're in good company with Paul and like-minded believers who are not living under the law, not living according to the flesh, but leaning on the Lord, trusting the Lord, waiting upon the Lord for his righteousness in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.